I feel the presence of the Lord here with you. I want you to stand right now and let's honor the Word of God. Everybody, please turn to Ezekiel chapter number 37. Please turn to Ezekiel chapter number 37. Now, recently I got through preaching and they let out children's church on the other side, and my little grandson, Matthew, who's about seven, he came running up to me in the pulpit and gave me a hug, and then he said, "Pop, Pop, pray for me, I'm dizzy." So I put my hand on him and I prayed the Lord would heal him and he wouldn't be dizzy. And when I pulled my hand back, he started turning in circles. He said, "Yeah, when I turn in circles, I get dizzy." But how many of you know God cares about every need that we have? And I was overjoyed to see these young people up here at this altar. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. All right, looks like you've got your Bible open to Ezekiel 37. The Bible says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit." Everybody say, "In the Spirit."
In the Spirit.
"In the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' And I answered, 'O Lord God, thou knowest.' And he said again to me, 'Prophesy on these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you.'" How many of you know when God says he'll do something, it's going to be done? And he said, "You shall live. And I will lay sinews on you and bring up flesh on you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And the bones came together when there was the shaking, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and flesh came on them, and the skin covered them all above. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these bones, these slain, that they may live." And so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Now, it's a prophetic scripture about the nation Israel coming to life victorious like an army. But it has great, great spiritual principles in it. Now, I want to turn to a scripture that fits perfectly, but I sure enough did not think so when God laid these two scriptures on my heart. Please turn to John chapter number 7. The Lord showed me how these scriptures fit. How many of you know that comparing spiritual things with spiritual are very, very powerful? Great and powerful things come out. You know, when I used to take chemistry in college and we had the table of periodic elements up on the wall, I came to think that was one of the most beautiful pictures I ever saw, because you can put one element with another and create something totally unlike either one of them. We see the Word of God and how it fits together. And when it fits together in your life, great and mighty things are going to happen that you know not. Mm-hmm. Now look with me, please, at John chapter 7, verse 37. "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." And please turn in your Bibles to the very first of the book of Genesis. Let us turn to a great, great scripture and honor the Word of God. Dear Lord, we are standing. We are receptive to receive your Word. Have your way, we humbly pray, in Jesus' name. Oh, I can't tell you the power that I feel up here in this pulpit in reading this scripture from Genesis chapter 2 at verse 7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Oh, I feel that breath.
Hallelujah.
Glory. I want everybody to please raise your hand and your heart to God and say, Lord, blow on me with the breath of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Lord, distribute severally as you will the move of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And we will give you praise, thanks, worship, and adoration for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you know what? It's going to be a thrill to be in the holy city, the New Jerusalem, that will come down out of heaven, prepared as a bride for her husband, incredibly huge and mighty, streets of gold, gates of pearl, every foundation transparent, reflecting the glory and light of Jesus. But far greater than the streets of gold will be a very, very beautiful thing there. Of course, the most beautiful will be the Lord Jesus. And the fact that we're going to have all our loved ones that have gone before. But as far as the physical beauty, far more beautiful than the streets of gold is going to be the sound of the running water everywhere. Bible says there's 12 gates. That the river flows out of the throne of God and the water divides and goes down every street. Bible indicates a beautiful, beautiful place with fountains and streams and a mighty river and water, running water everywhere. A beautiful, beautiful, beautiful place and a beautiful picture of something that is very special that I feel in this building here this morning. And that is the sweet flow of the Holy Spirit. The sweet and the precious flow of the Holy Spirit. There was an old preacher once who told some boys of a Bible lesson he was going to read in the morning. The boys found this place glued together, the connecting pages, and the next morning he read at the bottom of one of the pages that they had glued to another. When Noah was 120 years old, he took unto himself a wife who was, then turning the glued pages, he read, 140 cubits long, 40 cubits wide, built of gopher wood and covered with pitch inside and out. He was naturally rather puzzled by this, but he read it again and verified it and then said, my friends, this is the very first time that I have read this in the Bible, but I accept it as evidence of the assertion that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. How many of you believe everything that the Bible says? Here we are reading about a river, and this river is all around us, and this river is flowing into us. Adam is upon the ground, and no man has ever lived. God has created Adam out of the dust of the ground, but there is no life in him until the Holy Spirit blows the wind up into his nostrils, and it fills his lungs, and man becomes a living soul. In that wind was a mighty river, really, not just of oxygen, but also of water. And all of us know that water is H2O, two molecules of hydrogen and one of oxygen. And that when we are breathing in, we are breathing oxygen, but other trace gases, and we are also breathing in moisture all the time. We talk about the humidity, and in Savannah, Georgia, if you come and see us, I'll buy you a real good seafood dinner. But I guarantee you I will give you something else. I will give you humidity. Now, I hear in Houston there's some humidity, too. Is that true? When the living breath goes into Adam, he cannot contain it and just stop. He must also exhale. There is no life without respiration, which is two parts, inhaling and exhaling. It is not just taking in what God gives to you, but it's also giving out. So it's coming to the Lord and drinking in, coming and drinking. Jesus said, come and drink. We come. You don't drink if your mouth is closed. Come to God expecting and believing that He is going to fill you. When you come to the altar, if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, come up here to this altar and believe God. Open your mouth. Believe God is going to fill it. When I was 12 years old, we were having a great revival in Sumter, South Carolina, where my dad and mom pastored. 63 people had been baptized in the Holy Spirit in the mighty revival in this little bitty church that dad was pioneering. But I had not been filled with the Holy Spirit. J.B. Harrington, my little friend that I played with all the time, he had been filled with the Holy Spirit. I didn't understand why J.B. Harrington would get filled with the Holy Spirit and I wouldn't get filled with the Holy Spirit. My little friend Tommy James that I played with all the time, and Tommy was kind of ornery, but he got filled with the Holy Spirit. And I thought, what's he got that I don't have? And I felt kind of bad about this. And I began to pray, and I said, Lord, don't I have faith like Tommy James or J.B. Harrington? What's wrong with me? They've both been filled with the Holy Spirit. And I went and I talked to my dad about it. And my dad said, David, if the Holy Spirit just puts one word in your mind, you think you just hear one word, whatever it sounds like. He said, you speak it out. If you make a mistake and you do the wrong thing, God will forgive you. But if it is of God, more will follow because it will be like a flow. So, I was out in the school playground at the parking lot. And as I was walking along, I began to pray. And I said, Lord, I'm only 12 years old, but I love you. And I said, I believe I love you as much as others have been filled with the Spirit. I'm not perfect, but I know you're going to help me. But I said, Lord, I want the sweet Holy Spirit. I want to be filled. I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I said, would you put anything in my mind that I should speak out? And I thought there was a word in my mind. And I began to think, is that me? Is that my imagination? And all of a sudden I thought, if I speak it out and I make a mistake, God will forgive me. But if it is of God, more is going to follow. And so all of a sudden I stopped. And I said, Lord, I'm going to speak this word and I'm going to see what you are going to do in my heart. I was all by myself. All of a sudden, I spoke this word. Then another word came, and I spoke that word, and another word came, and spoke that word, and all of a sudden it began as a flow, a very fluent flow of the Holy Spirit. I cannot tell you how thrilled I am to know that the sweet Holy Spirit cares about me and cares about you. And sometimes I have had problems. I have had needs like anybody else. And I've lain in my bed and I wondered, what am I going to do? And all of a sudden I thought, I'm going to begin to pray in the Spirit. Sometime I whispered it out. Sometime I just began like the flow of praise to God in my mind. Sometime I spoke a few words. But each time that I have prayed in the Spirit like that, God has begun to lead me and to show me the way out of the problem or the dilemma or the need. Because the Holy Spirit is incredibly powerful. He is mighty. He is powerful. As a matter of fact, the Lord Jesus laid aside all of his power, came, born as a babe, wrapped in swaddling cloths, just cloths of the poor people of the day, born in a manger, laid aside every single bit of his heavenly glory and power. He had a mission. Lord Jesus never sinned, even without all that mighty power. He had that essential nature of holiness that he carried in his heart, and he never sinned. And about age 30, the Holy Spirit came upon him, and he began to minister. Jesus worked every single miracle of healing that he did by the power of the Holy Spirit. He had laid aside all of his heavenly glory and power and worked every miracle by the power of the Holy Spirit. Down in the lungs, your two lungs in your body, there are millions of tiny, tiny little sacs. Now, every single one of us, if we were to see a huge bomb explode and blow up several buildings, we would say, my, that is awesome power. But awesome power is taking place inside your body every single second. Everybody say respiration. Everybody say breathing in and breathing out. That is what happened when Adam came to life. That is why you are alive. But it's not just you breathing in of your nose and your mouth and you say, well, that's what breathing is. That is half of what breathing is. The other part of what breathing in is millions of explosions. They're happening on an extremely tiny level, but they are happening continually inside your lungs. You are breathing in of the oxygen, and the oxygen is exploding as it moves out of those tiny cells and is carried then by the blood cells. And when there's the transfer moving through the membrane to the blood cells, there's an explosion of power. Yes, it's very, very, very tiny, but it's very, very powerful. And when that explosion happens, there is a byproduct. And the byproduct of every one of those millions of explosions that are keeping you alive, so that the oxygen gets transferred to the blood cells, carried all through your body, bringing nutrients and oxygen and enabling you to stay alive. When that is happening, and as it happens, the byproducts are, number one, energy. Number three, carbon dioxide. And then water. There's energy, carbon dioxide, and water. There's the flow of water all through your being. Now, there's one very, very special word that God spoke through Ezekiel that is in this valley of dry bones. As he looks down in the valley of dry bones, he is very, very, very disgusted. Everything is dry disunited, all mixed up. It is not as though the bones are nice, organized skeletons down there. No, they're all disjointed, and they're all scattered all over the place in this valley. And he's in the mountains walking around the valley, and the Bible says he used a description, and it was very dry. Everybody say very dry. The reason he used that description is because there's no moisture at all. You absolutely have to have the flow of moisture in order to stay alive. You have to have the river of God. You have to have the breath of life. It is the Holy Spirit that breathed into man's nostrils and he became a living soul. But dear precious ones, you are not just a physical body. You are also a spiritual being. You have an eternal soul. You have a spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants to pour his breath all through every single part of your being so that you'll be a glory to the Lord Jesus. He not want you to go through life sad, dejected, defeated, where your life is very, very dry. You live a lonely life. You live a sad existence. For you, everything is dry and brittle. He does not want that to happen to you. And the Bible says that God told the prophet Ezekiel to begin to preach. And he said, these are people that have been slain. They have been killed. They once were alive, but now they are dead. And he's talking, of course, about the nation of Israel. And it's got great prophetic meaning to it. But also is a great, great, great illustration of how God brings anybody to life. Not just to physical life, but also to spiritual life. The bones are very, very dry. It's a valley of dry bones. You've heard the song, you know, the foot bone connected to the ankle bone connected to the knee bone and leg bone, all of that stuff. And here is the bones as they begin to come together. There is a sound in the valley. There's the sound of the popping as the bones are coming together, as the Holy Spirit is moving and bringing life into the place. And here is the sinews and the skin and the muscles that are now joining themselves to these bones. And now they are all there in the valley, ready to be organized as a mighty army, because man starts out with an army and ends up with bones, but God starts out with bones and ends up with an army. There's nothing too hard for God. Can you say praise the Lord? Raise your hand and give a praise to God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. He wants you to be an overcomer. He wants you to be a victor. He wants you to be an overcomer, one that wins in the game of life. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God forever. No matter how old we get, we will always need more of the power of God. Amen? There are problems, there are situations, difficulties that bombard you because the devil comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. He does want to kill you. He wants you to be nothing but dry bones. Maybe you walk around and you seem alive, but on the inside spiritually, you are dry. That's what the devil wants for your life. He doesn't want you to be happy. He doesn't want you to be fulfilled. He doesn't want you to be victorious. And, you know, I visited a lady who was in her 80s, and she was talking to me about her life and about how when she was a teenager, she was filled with the Spirit and has so much joy, and God was using her. And she said, God has still got his hand on my life, Brother David. But she said, there's one thing that I have found out. She said, there's a different set of temptations for every age group. She said, I used to think when I was a teenager, when I get to be older, you know, I'll be so spiritual, I'll be so victorious, I won't have any problems. But she said, I found out there's a different set of temptations and needs for every single age group. Somebody said, I think the life cycle is all backwards. You should die first, get it out of the way, then live 20 years in an old age home. You get kicked out when you're too young. You get a gold watch. You go to work. You work 40 years till you're young enough to enjoy your retirement. You go to college till you're ready for high school. Then you go to grade school. You become a little kid. You play. You have no responsibilities. You become a little baby. You go back into the womb. You spend your last 9 months floating, and then you finish off as a gleam in somebody's eye. But it's not like that, is it? And life has its problems as we go along, but it is the flow of the river that is powerful. And the Holy Spirit is likened as a flow all the way through the Bible. The flowing of the oil that's poured upon Aaron flows down his beards, all down upon his clothes. The anointing, the flow of the Spirit. He's like the river that is flowing. And then we see there in Genesis like the breath that is breathed up into Adam. And we can see right away that the difference in life is the flow, the breath, and the moisture all combined together. That when we breathe, there's not just oxygen, but it is also moisture. And the Bible says, when he's talking there in Ephesians about the body of Christ, he said it's like this. It's like there's all the different parts in the body. And he said there's things that every joint supplies, which every joint supplieth. It is where the power is. The power is in the joints. I'm able to move at my elbow because of the power that is transferred by the muscles and the tendons to enable me to do work. Otherwise, I cannot lift. I cannot stand erect unless these muscles are pulling one against another. And one time, many years ago, I was hurting very, very bad in my back. And I was told by a doctor I should have major surgery because he showed me in the x-ray that I had a break in my spine. And there was a spirit-filled man that I had met from another church who heard that I was hurting. This man was a chiropractor. His name was Dr. Vaughn. And he phoned me and he said, David, we know God works miracles, and I'm going to pray God will heal you. But he said, for right now, as we keep praying, I would like to help you. Will you start coming to me? So I was having pain radiating down both legs and into my feet, and it had gone about 3 months, and I was believing God for a miracle. And I didn't, you know, I'm not against those that have surgery now, and I believe God can use the wonderful doctors too. But I was just feeling that God was going to heal me and believing that he was going to heal me. And so anyway, I went to Dr. Vaughn and his nurses. He had three or four nurses. They all gathered around me with him, and they laid hands on me and prayed for me. And then they did certain things to relax my muscles every day. And I went to see him for about 6 or 7 weeks. And then Brenda and I were going to move to Maryland to pastor a church at Frederick, so which we did for 18 years. But when we got there, we had bounced all around in a big truck. And man, I was in incredibly awful pain. And I just stood there in the parking lot of that church, and I said, Lord, I don't have Dr. Vaughn here. I don't have anybody to help me here, and I've got to have a miracle. I had pain radiating down my legs and through my toes and my feet, and it was just incredibly awful. I just reached up to God. I said, God, right now, I have got to have a miracle. And all of a sudden, I felt the power of God come into the top of my head. I felt it physically, and it went down through my head, and then I felt it going down my neck. I felt it going down my body, went all the way down my body and separated, went through each leg, and I've been healed now for over 30 years. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But when I was going to Dr. Vaughn, he showed me how fearfully and wonderfully made we are. How many of you know, you're just a bag of bones. When you stand erect or when you sit, it's only because of muscles that counteract one another that enable you to stand. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And the Bible says that by the Holy Spirit, every joint supplies something. What does it supply? It supplies power and movement. And that is what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. He wants to move you to a higher height and a deeper depth in the things of God. He wants to give you meaning in your life. He wants to give you victory in your life. And there's nothing too hard for God. Amen? Hallelujah. A man was looking at a pumpkin growing on a vine, then at walnuts growing on a tree. He said, Lord, you do strange things. You use a tiny vine to hold a great big large pumpkin. And you use this great big strong tree to hold a little tiny walnut. You do strange things, Lord. About that time, a little tiny walnut fell on his head. As he rubbed his head, he said, thank you, Lord, that wasn't a pumpkin. God knows what he's doing. I said, God knows what he's doing. It's in the breath, friends. You got to open your mouth and breathe. Drink in of the Holy Spirit. You got to use an act of faith like I did out on the parking lot. And Brother Vernon met me when I was coming into this building, and his wife shared a wonderful testimony a while ago, and it was so exciting to me. But I asked Brother Vernon if he would come and share the exact words or approximate words that he shared with me when I came into this building, because it just touched my heart. And I thought, that's it. That's exactly what the Lord laid on my heart for this service. Amen. God bless you, brother.
Thank you.
Whatever God leads.
Oh, yes. I was talking to Pastor David this morning. I told him, I said, when you were preparing your message for last evening, I said, the Holy Spirit set that up. I said, it set it up because you were talking about the Adam when the Holy Spirit breathed into him. And I was looking at the mechanics of that, and I was thinking about that. But my wife, Vicky, she locked in on it, and she was receiving that for herself on that miracle, on breathing in and out. And then when she came up and then you laid hands on her, she went down in the spirit. And while she was out in the spirit, she said she seen the picture of Jesus' face when he came up and said, breathe. And she breathed in, and she got up, and she was shouting and said, I can breathe, I can breathe, praise God. So, that's something that I mentioned in church where I gave a testimony about a month ago. I said, the Holy Spirit, you just never know. I mean, he can just set things up, and you just keep surprising us. And I know that we're rich in people here with faith and experiences, so they can testify to that. But one of the things I was just going to close in saying, when we went last year, came back, went down to the medical center of the Methodist Hospital and seen some of the finest pulmonologists in the world here, and they said, well, you'll never be able to go back. She'll never be able to go to Colorado again. That's where I have two sons and grandchildren. So I said, well, Vicky, it looks like we're going to go again this summer to Colorado. I said, just by faith, we're going. So the Lord gave you a miracle, and don't let Satan take it away by fear and unbelief. Just receive it and work on it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Glory, 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 glory. Glory, glory, glory. You know, one time I was praying late at night over in the fellowship hall at our church, and I was all by myself when there was a knock at the door. Well, I was a little bit reluctant because, you know, there's in all these big cities, there's so much danger, and I was kind of reluctant to answer the door, but I went over, and a brother said to the other side, he said, I'm Brother Rickley. And he said, I'm a patrolman, and I saw the light on, and I'd like to come in and tell you something. So I opened the door, and Brother Rickley came in, and he had his patrolman uniform on. He said, I just want to tell you something that happened earlier today. And I said, well, I've been just in this building, just walking around praying. Now, I would love to hear something that God did. And Brother Rickley said, well, I came on the scene of a horrible auto wreck. He said there were two people in this car. There was a woman and her son. And he said this was a terrible wreck. This car had rolled over and pinned this lady inside the car. And her son had been thrown out, and the car had rolled over on his arms. And he said, I radioed for help. And then even though several people were stopping, I'd already done everything I could do and radio for help. And he said, all of a sudden it hit me. The power of the Holy Spirit can work a miracle for these people. Because he said, I looked through the wreck, and the lady had blood flowing down her legs. And the little boy had been thrown out, and the car rolled over, and I was afraid to move him because I felt a bone was sticking out through the skin. He said, I just knelt, and I just began to pray out loud, and I said, oh, God, don't let them have to amputate this little boy's arms. And, oh, God, stop the flow of the blood of this woman down her legs. Then after he had prayed, he said he looked, and the blood quit flowing down her legs. It took quite a while to cut her out of the wreckage, he said. But eventually they got her and the little boy to the hospital. He waited around. He talked to one of the nurses who had gone into the back and came out. He said, well, what happened to this couple? What happened to this lady? He said, the nurse said, well, she almost lost all of her blood. She almost died. She lost so much blood. But she's alive, and we think she's going to be okay. And Brother Rakeley said, I asked, well, did they have to amputate the little boy's arms? And he said, the nurse looked very surprised and said, well, there was nothing wrong with that little boy. Nothing wrong with that little boy. Hallelujah. Friends, there's nothing too hard for God. And Jesus worked every miracle by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he said, because I go to my Father, greater things shall you do because I go to my Father. Oh, praise the Lord. I want every single person here, please, to say yes to the Holy Spirit. If he's drawing you for salvation, say yes to the Holy Spirit. He will apply the blood of Jesus to your heart. And you'll never be any more clean than when the blood of Jesus washes you from your sins. Then I want to challenge everyone, if you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, that this is your time to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And if there's some of you who have not prayed in other tongues or prayed in the Spirit for some time, I want to ask you to renew your commitment to the sweet Holy Spirit. And I want you to come to this altar and say, I'm not going to leave until the sweet Holy Spirit moves in my heart and does whatever he wants to do in my soul. Hallelujah. And I want you to sing and pray in the Spirit and do whatever God wants you to do. Shall we bow our heads in prayer right now all over this building? How many are here in this building who are not sure of your soul's salvation, but you know that Jesus died on that cross for you? If you're not sure of your soul's salvation, you're not ready to go to heaven, you say, if I were to meet with an accident today and die, I'm not sure I'm ready to go to be with the Lord. If you're not sure you're ready to go to heaven, would you raise your hand all over this building? Raise your hand and put it right back down. Right now, as the Holy Spirit is speaking and ministering to your heart, if you're not sure of your soul salvation, would you do it now? Do it now. Do it now. I feel the sweet Holy Spirit moving in this place. I do feel another tug on the line. Oh, let's all pray for somebody that needs Jesus, somebody that has gotten away from Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Friend, God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. Don't go any further away from God. Come back to God. Do it in Jesus' name. Praise God. And dear precious one, Jesus bore the stripes on his back for your healing. If you say, I believe God is the one who is the healer, would you raise your hand? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there somebody here who say, I need a miracle of healing, Brother David? Would you pray and agree in faith with me? Would you raise your hand right now? Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Is there somebody who say, I have a financial need? Would you raise your hand? Don't be ashamed to admit it, friend. We all need help. Praise God. And these needs are raised because you have faith. And yes, I see your hand as well. And I see you as well, my dear brother. Praise God. I believe that God meets needs in mighty and miraculous ways. And he moves in all kind of ways by his sweet, powerful Holy Spirit that is moving living in the world today. Hallelujah. Jesus bore the stripes on his back for your healing. Do you know somebody who needs healing, who needs a miracle? Would you raise your hand for them? Praise God. The Holy Spirit will apply that work that Jesus did, and you will be healed by the power of the mighty God. Praise God. Shall we stand together then and give God a praise? Before we even come to this altar, everybody, please raise your hand to God, raise your heart to God, and begin to praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us prepare ourselves for what God is going to do at this altar. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, 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 glory to God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, save some soul at this altar today. In the name of Jesus, heal sick bodies at this altar today. In the name of Jesus, give vision, give leadership. Even as Pastor Calvin Durham was teaching in the Sunday school class, oh Lord, move by your sweet Holy Spirit as we breathe in of the sweet breath of the Holy Spirit. Give us a new and a fresh vision in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give God a praise. Raise your hand, your heart to God. Give God a praise. Give God a praise. Hallelujah. For what he's going to do at this altar. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, name that is above every name, hallelujah, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. 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 Friend, there's nothing too hard for God. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Now, dear precious ones, you've been so precious as a congregation. I'm so grateful for you giving me your attention, letting me share what God laid upon my heart. It's just a privilege and an honor to share the Word of God in this place. And I've loved Calvin and Beverly for many years. And I feel it's a great blessing for Brent and I to get to be here with them. And I've been praying and seeking God and asking him to do whatever he wants to do. And I want to share this with you right before you come to this altar. Perseverance is very, very important to God. I want to encourage you to persevere. Come and drink of the Spirit. Come and open your mouth and open your heart and drink in of the Spirit. And then the other part of the breathing is breathing out. Breathe out the praise, the worship, or in other tongues if the Holy Spirit leads you that way. However, and then go and breathe out and witness and encouragement to somebody, because that is part of it as well. But the perseverance, the saying, I will not let you go till you bless me, that's very, very important. And so to illustrate it, let me read very briefly a part of John Wesley's journal. John Wesley came to Savannah, Georgia, where I pastor. There's a statue of him downtown in one of the squares where he shook the dust of Savannah off his feet. Because even though he was not personally saved himself, he knew that you had to live a holy life to God, and he preached that hell was hot. And one young lady had come up to receive Holy Communion, and he knew that she was living in immorality with one of the board members of that church. And he went down off the pulpit and knocked the communion out of her hand. And the magistrate in Savannah said, "You're going to prison for that." And he had to hide out in the marshland out of Savannah, rather than be arrested and put in jail for defamation of character. He only slept about 4 hours a night. You know that John Wesley ministered over many, many years. But he slept very, very soundly when he did go to sleep. And he would say later, when I was sleeping out in the marshes of Savannah, I wouldn't even wake up till the water had covered my legs and some of it was running up into my nose. That's what woke him up. He finally was able to wade out to a ship going back to England. But on that ship, there were some people called the Moravians. There was a great storm at sea. John Wesley said, I realized I wasn't right with God and I was afraid. But the Moravians were singing choruses of praise. They knew they were saved. And he said, I came to realize you can know you're saved. I went back to England. I picked up Martin Luther's book on a commentary of Galatians. And when I was reading the preface, The Just Shall Live by Faith, he said, I realized I could receive Christ as my Savior. I looked up and I received Christ in my heart. He said, I felt my soul and heart strangely warmed. He went back to, as a born-again individual, began to preach in England. Here is what part of his journal says in one section. Sunday, May 5 p.m., I preached in St. John's. The deacon said, get out and stay out. Sunday, May 12 a.m., I preached in St. Jude. They told me not to come back there either. Sunday, May 12 p.m., I preached in St. George's. I got kicked out again. Sunday, May 19 a.m., I preached in St. somebody else's. The deacons called a special meeting and said I couldn't return. Sunday, May 19 p.m., I preached on the street, and some people came and kicked me off the street. Sunday, May 26 a.m., I preached in a meadow. They chased me out of a meadow and turned a bull loose on me. Sunday, June 2 a.m., I preached out at the edge of town. They came in a mob and kicked me off the highway. Sunday, June 2 p.m. in the afternoon, I walked out into the pasture and preached in the pasture. 10,000 people came out to hear me, and many were gloriously saved. Friends, you got to persevere. Persevere, and God will move. I want everybody to please come and stand at this altar. Please, everyone, come and stand or kneel or sit at the front pew or at this altar. Come and sit in the front pew if you prefer, whatever God leads you to do. And dear friend, let us come and wait upon God. Hallelujah. Come and open your mouth and begin to praise God. Come and open your heart and begin to praise God. Come and open your mind to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come and begin to praise God right now. Hallelujah. 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 Whatever form it takes, if it's in other tongues, if it's in English, whatever it is, open your mouth and begin to praise God right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I believe God is going to do things on this Pentecost Sunday. Hallelujah. 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 Everybody that prays in other tongues, begin to praise in your heavenly language that God has given to you. Hallelujah. Bring it out right now. Begin to bring it out right now. Praise God with it. Hallelujah. Marabatika shara halarama. Miriaribatira shaba halarimahana. Glory to God. Speak it out or sing it out, whatever God leads. Mimariatiko shabahala. Malaribatira shara halarama. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Malare matiko shalarabahana. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Open your mouth. He said, I will fill it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let God have his way, whatever he wants to do. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now I'm going to ask that Pastor Calvin, Sister Beverly, my wife Brenda, and I, and any elders of the church, will walk around and lay hands upon you and believe God for a mighty move of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And if you want to turn, you want to lay your hands on somebody, you want to walk to somebody, you have a burden for someone, you want to pray for them, go and pray for them. Or any elders of the church, if you feel led to pray for somebody, go and turn to the one to the right or left of you, front or back of you. Lay your hand upon somebody. Let us believe God for the moving of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you need the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the Lord is ready to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. He is ready to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Young people, praise God. I want you to just look up to the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Just look up to God. Hallelujah. I want you to raise your head and your heart to God, okay, right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just raise your head up to God. Hallelujah. And just speak out whatever God gives you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whatever God speaks, just open your mouth and speak whatever God gives you. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank God. I thank God. I thank God for these precious young people. Glory to God. Young man, hallelujah. Open your heart to God. Whatever right now he wants to do, glory to God. Let him do it. Let him do it in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I'd like for these wonderful young people to just stand a minute. And I'd like for some of you to come around in front of them and just lay your hand upon them and believe God to do things in their lives. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Some of you just come and stand in front of them and lay your hand on them. Come around this side if you don't mind, please. Hallelujah. Some of you come, just lay your hand on the precious young people. Pray that God will bless their lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just do whatever God says. Hallelujah. Begin to praise the Lord. Glory to God. Begin to praise Him and thank Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. There it is right now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Speak it out. Whatever God gives. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord, we're here to praise you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Bless the precious young people, Lord. Love them, Lord. Meet their needs. We know sometimes the children have burdens and needs that we don't even know about, Lord. Bless them and encourage them in every way. Hallelujah. Lord, these two wonderful boys. Gives you to speak, just speak it out right now. Hallelujah. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Hallelujah. If God gives you something to say, say it right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Move right now. Fall by your sweet Holy Spirit, Lord. Move with the mighty move of God, the mighty baptism of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, it's for you. Hallelujah. Just open your mouth and speak whatever God puts into your heart to speak. Glory to God. It will flow like a river. Hallelujah. Barabaha. There it is right there. Hallelujah. Just speak it out. Glory to God. Maramatiko Shabahalara. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord. We would strengthen. We would encourage these dear precious ones. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. We want more of you, Lord. We want your will, hallelujah. We want your way, glory to God. Oh, moved by your sweet, precious Holy Spirit. Glory to God, I'm praising you, Lord. Hallelujah, I thank you, Lord, for this wonderful young man. Oh, hallelujah. He's got things for you to do. He's got good things for your life.
Yesterday's gone.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If there's anyone else wants divine healing, you want to come and stand here for healing, would you come and stand? We will lay our hands upon you in an act of faith right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Some of you come and make a circle around our sister. We're going to pray God for a miracle of divine healing. Hallelujah. It's in Jesus' name.
Yesterday's gone.
It's in Jesus' name.